In your face.
Well, this week, the Victorian Parliament held hearings for its inquiry into hate crimes directed towards the LGBTIQ A+ community. On the line, we have Sean Mulcahy from the Victorian Pride Lobby to tell us all about it. Sean, welcome back to 3CR.
James, always a pleasure.
What were the main issues that came out in the hearings this week?
So we've had 2 days of hearings for the inquiry this week, and some of the main issues that we brought forward to the committee was the need for this level of violence that our community is experiencing to be responded to institutionally and legally. So we had three key recommendations that we put to the committee. First, despite the fact that this is an inquiry into anti-LGBTIQ plus hate crimes, Victoria doesn't actually have any standalone hate crime offences. So we need to address this by introducing what we call aggravated or hate-based offences into the Crimes Act. But in order for those offences to be prosecuted, policing needs to be strengthened, and we've suggested establishing a hate crimes unit within Victoria Police, alongside an independent hate crimes scrutiny panel, which provides some oversight of the investigation and responses to hate crimes, a similar model as to what they are developing in Queensland. And lastly, we need to address some of the legislative gaps. So the Sentencing Act, which does include aggravated sentencing provisions, which means that if you have committed an offence and you are motivated by hatred based on a person's protected attributes, including their LGBTIQ plus status, your sentence could be uplifted. But we need to make that clearer so the courts can consider prejudice motivation wherever hostility is demonstrated on the basis of somebody's protected attributes, including their LGBTIQ plus status, their disability, their sex and the like. So really what our key message was is that the law in Victoria needs to denounce hate but still respect free speech.
Sounds like there is an enormous amount that needs to be done. At the hearings, were there some common themes about how, I guess, hate crimes are directed at the LGBTIQA plus community? Like, were there some common themes?
We heard a lot about the rise in hate crimes directed against gay and bisexual men, particularly app-connected violence, so people that are connecting through Grindr and then being the subject of sometimes quite vicious bashings. There's been 95 reported attacks against gay and bi men in Victoria and 42 offenders arrested. But we do know that this violence affects others in our community. Our research at the Pride Lobby shows that 1 in 10 trans people have experienced violence and anti-trans violence, and 6% of lesbian and bisexual women report having been bashed. Now, I talked a bit about what we can do to respond when the incidents happen, but we know that enforcement alone isn't enough. And a common message through the hearings from many people that were speaking is that we also need to prioritise prevention. And one key thing we can do in Victoria, we can't regulate online apps like Grindr. We rely on the federal government to do that. But one key thing we can do in Victoria is introduce what we call a positive duty in our state's equal opportunity laws. And that positive duty will mean that organisations have to take reasonable and proportionate steps to eliminate vilification before it escalates into violence. So we're not just waiting for vilification to occur and from that violence to be enacted. We're saying organisations need to do things like put in place policies, put in place filters, put in place training for staff to ensure that we don't see this hate speech, which so often leads to hate crimes and criminal offending against our community.
So the inquiry is being conducted by the upper house, by the Legislative Council. You've got a diversity of upper house MPs from, you know, a multitude of political persuasions. Were the politicians that you were talking to at the inquiry, at the hearings, were they on board? Did they present a united front? Like, what was the mood like amongst the politicians who will ultimately be making the recommendations that the Parliament will hopefully act on?
So you're right, James. This is an inquiry by the Legislative Council or the Upper House's Committee into Legal and Social Issues. It's a multi-partisan committee where we're speaking to representatives from the Labor government to the Liberal opposition and to members of the Greens as well too. And there are other members of other political parties participating in this committee as well too, albeit that they weren't there for the 2 days of the hearings, which can sometimes happen. People have other commitments and the like, and that's totally fine. I think we got a very good hearing. I think the committee members were largely sympathetic to the concerns that people were raising. My hope is that we can get some strong bipartisan recommendations out of this. Hate isn't an issue that should be politicised or divided along political lines. We've seen previously when the Legislative Assembly, that is the Lower Houses Committee, did their inquiry into anti-vilification or hate speech protections. That was a bipartisan report. The recommendations were supported by both the Labor government and the Liberal National Opposition, and that meant we could get those hate crime laws through the Parliament. I would hope that we see the same level of bipartisanship on this issue as well too.
So it sounds like you didn't see any political warning bells, that, you know, there weren't any questionings that made you go, this person's not on board. This is going to be used as a political football as we gear up for the election. It sounds like there was none of that shenanigans.
Look, I think that it's fair to say that there was a concern around how we balance free speech with freedom from hate. And I think the key point that many of the submitters made during their evidence to the inquiry was, when we talk about hate crimes, it's not just about hate, it's about the criminal element as well too. So this is a crime, whether it is robbery or assault or affray, that is coupled with a prejudice motivation. So this isn't about policing somebody for disagreement. This is about policing somebody that has already committed a criminal offence, something that we've already prescribed in the Crimes Act as a crime, but they are doing that motivated by prejudice against somebody based on their sexual orientation, on their gender identity and their sex characteristics. So I hope that message was heard loud and clearly by had some committee members that were rightly concerned about impingements on free speech, that this is actually dealing with criminal behaviour that is motivated by prejudice. It's not about disagreements or debates around issues related to LGBTIQA plus communities.
Who raised concerns about free speech?
I think it would be fair to say to anybody that goes back and watches, there was one particular member, Anne-Marie Hermans, who's the Liberal member for Southeastern Metropolitan, who did raise some curly questions, I think at one time asking the percentage of the transgender community who are pagans. I don't know quite how we got there, but it was certainly amusing when she did. But I think there was a really strongly put evidence to really clearly articulate that, yes, there are crimes within the community generally, and our communities unfortunately experience these prejudice-motivated crimes based on simple things about who we love, who we are, and how our bodies look.
How on earth did she get into a rhythm where she was talking about trans people and paganism? Like, that's off the rails.
I do not know. You would have to ask Mrs. Hermans herself, but I will say I thought it was a rather amusing question.
And what was the reaction from the other politicians?
Look, I think the politicians across the committee were incredibly respectful. And I do have to particularly call out the committee's chair, Jo McCracken, who's also a member of the LGBTIQA plus community. He handled the evidence extremely sensitively. We had a number of people speak about their own lived experience of hate crimes and assaults, and it was really tough listening, and I really want to compliment the chair on the care in which he showed everyone who gave evidence towards that inquiry and the sensitivity that he showed towards the witnesses.
Has there been a reaction from Jess Wilson, the opposition leader here in Victoria, to the inquiry?
Not as yet. I'll be honest with your listeners. When the motion to establish the inquiry was put to the Upper House, it was supported by the Labor Party. It was introduced by the Greens and supported by members of the crossbench. Unfortunately, the Liberal and National parties didn't support the inquiry at that time. Their argument was that there are other communities that are also affected by prejudice-motivated violence, including ethnic and religious communities. But I think we've managed to make the point really clear that there are particular issues impacting our communities, and particularly the gay and bisexual men who've been targeted in these Grindr-related or app-related attacks that warrant an inquiry. I think we made that point quite solid and quite clearly during the 2 days of hearings, and I think that was felt by even some members of the committee or the parliament that had perhaps questioned the need for this inquiry. You know, some people
didn't
really know the extent.
So there could be a point of difference, couldn't there, during the election campaign? I mean, the two parties may have opposing policies in this regard, and potentially the Liberals could not support the recommendations as part of their policy during the build-up to the election.
I really hope that we do see bipartisan support on this issue. This, as I stressed before, this isn't an issue about speech. This is an issue about crimes, and particularly often quite graphic crimes that are targeted towards people based on their protected characteristics. Now, I would think, given that the Liberal and National parties have raised the issue of crime in Victoria, that they will be looking at everything that they can do to stop it happening. And what that is going to require to put an end to the anti-LGBTIQA plus hate crimes we're seeing in Victoria is targeted strategies and actions to address the particularities of the crimes that our community are facing.
And that's a bit of a bind for them, isn't it? That's a bit of a wedge for the coalition in Victoria. On the one hand, they're saying the government needs to be tougher on crime, but on the other hand, they're kind of, you know, wishy-washy on LGBTIQ hate crimes. They can't have it both ways.
Well, I think if you're going to stop crime in Victoria, well, which is something that we should understandably aspire to, then you need to stop crime in all of its forms. And the crimes that our community have been facing, I mean, some of the footage is incredibly graphic, incredibly brutal. And what we heard quite clearly from some of the evidence of the inquiry, some of the very brave victims who spoke at the inquiry, was that the implications of this offending are long-lasting in terms of time lost at work, in terms of medical bills, in terms of just the trauma of having to re-engage with community after experiencing such shocking violence.
Absolutely.
So if we do want to address crime, then we need to address crime in all of its forms.
Absolutely. Sean Mulcahy from the Victorian Pride Lobby, thank you for talking to us today about the parliamentary hearings into LGBTIQA plus hate crimes here in Victoria. Thank you so much. And just quickly, when do we get a report back? When will the report be issued?
The report is due to be tabled in Parliament on the 1st of September of this year. Don't forget, we've got an election in November. We should receive a response from the government, whichever government that may be, 6 months after September, so early in the new year.
Thank you so much for your time today, Sean. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much, James.
Sean Mulcahy there from the Victorian Pride Lobby.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.